Welcome to the Bogosity Podcast for the 8th of September, 2014, the podcast that has spontaneity down to an art. This is your host, Shane Killian, and joining me again this week are Daniel Wilcox and Dave Turcotte. Guys, welcome back to the show.
Glad to be back.
Hello.
And Daniel, it looks like you'd already done the ice bucket challenge. I just hadn't seen it when I challenged you on it, so thanks for that.
Also, we finally saw your legs, and now we know why.
Yeah, they're better off staying below the camera.
Could have been mine.
Also, hey, did you guys have live ice in yours?
No, my ice maker is on the fritz.
I did.
It was cold, though. I have well water. Believe me, that water was as cold as it would be if you had ice, and it came straight out of the ground. Oh, that is cold water. Yeah, and I had rinsed the bin out before, so all the stuff that was above ground and a bit warmer was used up during that. That was cold water straight from Mother Earth. It's cold down there.
It's cold, I says. It's cold.
All right, let's dry erase the news of the bogus. And this first story is related to a story we covered last week. We talked about Americans relinquishing their citizenship and how it cost them $450 in an expat tax. Well, guess what? They just upped that to $2,350.
Well, if you don't like the government, why don't you just move? Why don't you just leave?
Yeah, why don't you take your life savings, give it to the government for permission to leave?
Yeah, seriously, social contract, you guys are just... No. Okay, so let me get this straight. If I don't like the way things are, I could just leave. Oh, wait, I can't because I don't have enough money.
Yeah.
And then you try to tell me I'm given permission to leave whenever I want. I suppose if I swim, unless the Coast Guard picks me up.
Well, I mean, even if you manage to get to another country, and again, the U.S. is the only country that does this, they'll follow you there. If you make it to, you know, New Zealand or somewhere, they'll go to New Zealand and say, no, you're still an American citizen. You owe taxes to us.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. I seem to remember that thing about this family being harassed for back taxes even after.
Yeah.
I think Hawkeye covered it.
Yeah. Even when you're an expat, you have to have your taxes all done and proper for the last 5 years. And you have to make sure all that's done. And if it's not, they won't recognize that you renounced your citizenship until all that's done. At which point, you've been working and accumulating more, and now you owe more in taxes, and then you have to pay that, and then you have to go through it all again. Yeah.
It never ends.
But this was prompted by the fact that in 2013, there was a 221% increase in Americans renouncing their citizenship.
Gee, I wonder why.
We can't have people leaving.
Well, we can't have rich people leaving. That's what it is. They don't want rich people leaving, and they don't want poor people coming in.
Of course. It's obvious that this is just, let's be blunt, this is just a stick-up.
Yeah.
It's a rig.
It's a hostage situation.
It's ridiculous, and all these people keep making excuses, but hey, the people you're making excuses for are just giving you less and less excuses.
Well, I guess if we don't like this, we can move.
No, because we then owe them a lot of money.
Yeah. And that amount is more than 20 times the average level in other high-income countries. Even before then, it was like 4 times the level. And the State Department says, well, it's just money they need to cover all the extra workload they have to do to process it.
Yeah, right.
Extra workload?
Yeah.
So let me get this straight. For years, you had this previous rate. And now, all of a sudden, now that it wasn't enough, how did you function for all those years? It's the same thing as when these people were saying how the sequester was going to be the end of us because, oh, we need that new money. We need that new money. We don't have enough. Well, then how the hell did you function for the past, you know, 200 years?
Yeah. But yeah, they've got to make sure that the person renouncing their citizenship understands all of the consequences, you know, and all the rights that they lose in doing that. They have to conduct a minimum of 2 intensive interviews and have to review at least 3 consular systems before administering the oath of renunciation. So you have to take an oath when you give up your citizenship. And then it all has to be processed and finished up at the Directorate of Overseas Citizen Services in Washington. Then it goes back to the consular office overseas for the final delivery of your certificate of loss of nationality.
Hey.
You know, that's a lot of crap to go through to leave.
I know.
I mean, could you imagine if I'm hosting a party at my house and then in order for people to leave, they have to take an oath?
After filling out a bunch of forms.
And fill out a bunch of forms and be told the consequences of leaving my party. Just, Jesus. Again, social contract people, where is your argument now?
So wait, you lose even more rights by leaving? I thought we were supposed to, if we didn't like having our rights taken away.
Well, it's things like right to travel through the United States and things like that. You know, you gotta get a visa to do that, stuff like that. History is written by the winners, and so apparently is economics. That's why there's LibertyClassroom.com. Probably the best single learning resource for history and economics on the web, LibertyClassroom.com teaches U.S. history, Western Civ, and economics from actual university professors. There's lots of free material to get you started, including introductory lectures on all these subjects, and when you sign up, you get the full site's content for just $99 a year, less than the price of 2 cups of coffee a month. And if you type in the promo code BOGOSITY in all caps, you'll get your first year for just $88. Lectures are available in both video and audio format, so you can watch or listen to them on your computer, your phone or tablet, or in your car. Learn at your own pace about the subjects you're interested in and become a more effective debater. You'll also get access to lots of supplemental materials and even the professors themselves via the discussion forum and even live video chats. Inform yourself against the myths and propaganda of our society. Visit LibertyClassroom.com. Okay, big news on the Bitcoin front. One country has just announced that it's making Bitcoin an official currency, the tiny island nation Dominica. Now, don't confuse this with the Dominican Republic. Okay, so south of Florida, you have Cuba. East of that, you have the island that's half Haiti, half Dominican Republic. And then east of that, you have Puerto Rico. And then you have that curve of islands that goes down to Venezuela. That's the point where the Caribbean Sea turns into the Atlantic Ocean. Dominica is right in the middle of that little curve of islands. This tiny little island. All right, so local authorities in Dominica, together with Coinapult, Aspen Assurance, Bitcoin Beauties, and the College Cryptocurrency Network, are doing an initiative called Let the Bit Drop. And what's going to happen is they're going to send a tiny amount of Bitcoin to every resident of the island via text message, and that's more than 70,000 of them, which will make the most densely concentrated Bitcoin community in the world. And so the hope is that they will then turn around and use Bitcoin for transactions.
It's definitely interesting. I mean, even if you're not a fan of Bitcoin, or if, you know, you think Bitcoin is evil or whatever, this is still an interesting experiment to see whether or not it actually works.
Yeah.
Well, it also has potential to make Dominica grow economically.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole thing. That's part of the experiment. You have both sides. Either it grows their economy or it kills their economy. And no matter which side of the Bitcoin debate you're on, it's still an interesting thing to look at.
And the funding is going to come from donations and sponsors. They're not going to use anyone's tax money for it. So I guess how much they get just depends on how many donations they get, and they'll divide that out and send a little bit to everyone.
Well, the only thing you could really do is just wait and see what happens.
And the date we'll have to wait for is March 14th, 2015 at 9:26 a.m. That sounds kind of oddly specific, doesn't it?
It does.
Yes.
3:14:15 at 9:26. 3:14:15:926.
Oh, God.
3.14. That's Pi Day.
Oh, no.
Yep, they're doing it on Pi Day.
Oh, wow.
In deference to all of the nice mathematics behind Bitcoin.
So what you're saying is they want a slice of a new economy.
They want their piece of pie. Well, according to Ira Miller, CEO of Coinapult, quote, "Pi is an objective mathematical truth, not a human creation. Everyone can understand, use, and be empowered by Pi. Bitcoin applies the same objectivity and openness to financial transactions. Also, Pi Day is conveniently right after Carnival, one of the most glorious of all imperfect human creations.
Pie is also delicious.
Oh, dear.
You know, if you put 314 on a piece of paper and hold it in a mirror, it kind of looks like P-I-E.
Huh.
Anyway. And they're also going to be distributing educational material and talk about the advantages of using Bitcoin and talk to a lot of Dominican retailers about how to accept Bitcoin as payment and what the benefits are. And apparently all the officials are really hopeful that this will solve a lot of problems. Because according to the Heritage Foundation, you know, they do that index of economic freedom. It's not all that great. It's number 63. Which is better than a lot of countries, but it could be better. It already enjoys a high degree of monetary freedom. It's got some pretty good scores for trade freedom, fiscal freedom, labor freedom, and investment freedom. But it really lags behind in financial freedom, which is 30. And it really has a problem with corruption. Bitcoin can help with all of those. And the Heritage Foundation said, quote, Dominica has achieved its highest score ever in the 2014 index. Recent reform measures, including simplification of the business startup process and reduction of the corporate tax rate, have helped to improve the overall investment framework. You know, exactly like they don't want to do here, make it easier to start a business and lower corporate taxes.
No, they want to make it harder.
But this just looks like it's part of that overall move to make things easier. They say, quote, launching a business only takes 5 procedures and no minimum capital is required. Obtaining necessary permits costs less than 10% of the level of average annual income. The non-salary cost of employing a worker is moderate, but the labor market lacks flexibility in other areas. Ongoing and comprehensive government attempts to restructure the economy include the elimination of price controls, which is always a good thing. Administration of the investment regime remains bureaucratic. The financial sector remains underdeveloped. Shallow markets and a lack of available financial instruments restrict overall access to credit. That's something that Bitcoin can really help with, because then you're not even going through that system.
No, it's all digital and it's all direct.
And it's not controlled by a bureaucracy, you know, where they can tell you what to do or anything like that.
No middleman.
Yeah. So good luck to Dominica. You say you don't like Bitcoin? Why not? Oh, because it's not gold. No problem. Just go to coins.bogosity.tv and you'll be taken to Coinable, where you can buy gold or silver coins or bars with your Bitcoins, with literally up-to-the-minute spot pricing. Now there's no reason not to jump on the Bitcoin bandwagon. Whether you're a Bitcoin miner, service operator, Bitcoin business owner, or market speculator, you can get gold and silver from reputable dealers. And Coinable has Bitcoin liquidity for fast processing of your order. Coinable even utilizes a special shipping infrastructure to ensure that your investment arrives safely at your door. And you know what? By going to coins.bogosity.tv, you won't pay a penny more, excuse me, a Satoshi more for your purchase. But you'll help this podcast. You can even sell your gold and silver for Bitcoin as well. Coinable is your Bitcoin to gold marketplace. So go to coins.bogosity.tv and start turning your Bitcoins into gold now. Bogosity.tv and all of its services are hosted at GoDaddy. I've been very satisfied with GoDaddy's services and their wonderful 24/7 customer support for over 10 years now. So I'm happy to be able to give you this special offer. Just sign up for any new domain, web hosting, email, or other service and get 35% off with the code WOWNOBOGON. That's WOWNOBOGON. Because there's nothing bogus about these savings on quality internet hosting. Just go to GoDaddy.com and use the code WOWNOBOGON. Okay, this next story won't be a surprise to anyone who's been paying attention to the electoral process, but it's a problem that finally seems to be getting national attention. We've talked before on the podcast about how the Democrats and Republicans really put the screws on third parties to restrict their access to the ballot, making them jump through lots of hoops, like collecting thousands of petition signatures while exempting themselves from those same restrictions.
Yeah, that's pretty much expected.
No agenda there.
It's not like they're trying to protect their incumbency or anything.
Oh, no, they'd never do that.
Well, the Illinois Libertarian Party got enough petition signatures to get on the ballot. The GOP tried to get the petition signatures thrown out, but the State Board of Elections ruled 5-2 to certify the party. Well, it turns out one of the things they were doing to try and show that the petition signatures were invalid has been using armed intimidation tactics to try and get people to retract their signatures. One example is Sarah Dart. She's an African-American woman who petitioned for the party. She testified that she was accosted 3 times by one Carlos Rodriguez of Morrison Security. And Morrison Security is owned by Sean Morrison, who is a member of the Illinois GOP's State Central Committee. So, yeah, no conflict of interest there or anything. And Dart said that Rodriguez used the ruse of finding a missing girl to question her and then took out a stack of petitions and tried to get her to admit they were fraudulently obtained. And she said that during the conversation, he displayed his holstered gun. He let her see that he had a gun on his side and said he was doing all sorts of things to frighten her. But good for her, she refused to cave. So afterwards, he started stalking her, staking out her home, and just doing all sorts of things to try and discredit her.
Sounds like the mob.
Yeah, pretty much.
And considering we're talking about Illinois, which has Chicago.
So they've broken her legs yet, or...
Man, she, you're gonna not vote for the Libertarian, she. If you do that, the fat lady gets you.
What are you doing, voting Libertarian? You're breaking my heart. I thought we were family. We're supposed to be like family. Why are you breaking my heart?
We had a deal. I made you an offer that you couldn't refuse. You were gonna not vote for the Libertarians. You were gonna vote for the Republicans. You asked me for this favor, and I granted it to you. And this is how you pay me back.
You were fantastic at that, Dave.
You're pretty good, yeah.
I should do the rest of the podcast like this. Just let them know that this is my contribution to this effort.
All right. Well, it wasn't just petitioners. People who'd signed the petition found members of the security firm showing up at their homes, trying to get them to recant their signatures. They were armed. And at least one of them, Morgan Kreitner, was a paid staffer for the campaign of GOP gubernatorial nominee Bruce Rauner. The Chicago Sun-Times has also reported on several connections between Rauner and these people engaging in armed intimidation.
Yeah, the GOP is notorious at this point for basically giving the shaft to third-party candidates or even to lesser candidates on their own platform.
Yeah, well, Democrats do it too. I mean, there are plenty of stories out from the Democrats.
Oh, they do too. I'm just saying that from what I've seen, we've seen plenty of examples from the GOP.
People like to call us Republican shills.
Yeah, we must be doing a very bad job of that.
I'm still looking for my Coke money.
For your what?
From Coke and Monsanto and NASA and all the other people I'm supposed to be shilling for. And Big Pharma.
And I mean the Koch brothers. I think that should be made clear. Nothing illegal here.
Yeah, not Coca-Cola. Although someone's probably going to say, I don't know if anyone's going to say we're in the back pocket of Coca-Cola, but...
Yeah, I can't do a Scarface impression. I could do Marlon Brando. I can't do Al Pacino.
Al Pacino can't even do Al Pacino.
Hey, do Joe Pesci?
Say hello to my little friend. That's about the best I can do.
Hey, what are you saying? You're saying you want someone to do a Joe Pesci impression to amuse you?
Was that good?
Yeah, I think you're funny.
It's trying.
I'm funny. You saying I'm funny? Are you calling me funny?
Yeah. Right. Sorry, too much fun with that.
I'm sorry. I it's been too long since I saw Goodfellas, so I can't really do a...
You do a better Don Knotts.
I wouldn't go throwing stones there, Steve Buscemi.
Well, if we were doing Untouchables, I could do a good Sean Connery.
You have to be Scottish to do a good Sean Connery.
I don't know about that. I've seen some pretty good Sean Connerys out there.
Well, when you run across one, let me know.
I was also in Highlander.
You hear about the time the book fell on his head?
No.
He said, I can only blame myself.
Anyway.
Sorry.
These actions violate Section 29-4 of the Illinois Election Code, which makes it a Class 4 felony to use force, intimidation, threat, or deception intended to impede the petitioning process. According to Ben Coyle, Libertarian candidate for Illinois Attorney General, quote, the Illinois Republican Party's actions, by hiring a private investigation firm such as Morrison Security Corporation to engage in deceptive and coercive tactics against the Libertarian Party's petition gatherers and signers, are beyond outrageous. The actions by the Republicans are calculated to deprive registered voters of Illinois their right to free and open elections. These coercive and deceptive tactics have a chilling effect in that they discourage people from signing petitions and are in violation not only of Illinois election law, but also of our First Amendment rights.
Again, is anybody surprised?
He's saying that like the GOP cares.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's nothing new. Those of us who follow this sort of thing, no, this happens all the time, Republicans and Democrats, but hopefully now more people are starting to be aware of it. And maybe people should ask themselves, if the Democrats and Republicans are willing to go through all this to try and keep libertarians off the ballot, just what are they so afraid of? I mean, I thought we were like a bunch of crazy fringe candidates that have no chance of getting elected.
We have no chance of getting elected, and yet we're the cause of every problem.
Oh, of course.
I've said this before, and I'll say it again. These people who try to go after the third parties to get rid of them, it really is an admission of defeat when you think about it.
Yeah.
If you aren't that confident in your platform that you need to muscle other people out of an election, why should I support you?
Exactly.
That's exactly what it tells you. You're not comfortable enough in your platform.
Right.
We had a deal. I could have made something out of you. I could have made you a contender.
I could have had class.
Anyway, the Illinois LP has filed a criminal complaint against the Republican Party. Best of luck to them. Bogosity.tv is a participant in the Amazon Services LLC Associates Program, an affiliate advertising program designed to provide a means for sites to earn advertising fees by advertising and linking to Amazon.com. Just clear your cookies and go to Amazon.bogosity.tv, or check the right-hand side of the podcast page for Amazon's best deals, including the deal of the day and limited-time lightning deals on all sorts of great products. So next time you buy online, go to Amazon.bogosity.tv. All right, it's time to school this week's biggest bogon emitter. And this week, truthout.org lives up to their name, as in the truth is way out, in their anti-libertarian article entitled, "You Don't Know What Libertarian Means." And with a title like that, you know the bogons are a-coming.
Oh, prepare. It's happening.
Bogon shields to full. I guess we'll just start going through it. Quote, "If you want to know what libertarianism is all about, don't ask a libertarian because most of them don't know. Ask us so we can give you our straw man version that we can easily refute."
Oh, yeah. Sure. I don't know what I am. Apparently we all suffer from a horrible case of identity crisis.
Who am I?
Well, they're talking about a poll from Pew Research that said, quote, "Only 11% of those surveyed who identified themselves as libertarian were correctly able to identify the very basic meaning of libertarianism as someone whose political views emphasize individual freedom by limiting the role of government." Maybe because that's not what the basic meaning of libertarianism is?
Yeah.
You know, the non-initiation of force principle? Of course. The non-aggression principle? Have we heard this enough, people? How many times do we have to keep saying this before you stop just making up your own definitions?
Yeah, I've come to this point in my life where whenever I read an article talking about libertarianism and they say that, and they don't mention the non-aggression principle when they describe libertarianism, it's a pretty good indicator that you could just throw this out.
Yeah. Well, and they say really dumb stuff like, 46% of libertarians believe that corporations make too much profit because they don't understand what the libertarian attitude towards corporations is. Corporations are a creation of government. We wouldn't have the first problem with them making that profit as businesses in a free market, but as corporations getting sweetheart deals from the government, guess what? We're against that.
Yeah, by definition, corporations are a government creation.
Oh, yeah. You don't incorporate without it.
Amazing how many people try to deny that.
Oh, again, though, I said this in the previous story, but I want to know where my money is for my supposed shilling of corporations.
Yeah.
Because if I'm a shill for corporations, I'm either not doing a good enough job that they don't feel interested in paying me, or maybe I'm not and you people are just making stuff up so that you can try and just discredit me because you guys don't know how to have a real argument.
Yeah. And yes, they mentioned the Koch brothers, and specifically they mentioned 1980 Libertarian Party vice presidential candidate David Koch, whom they call one half of the Kochtopus, which is almost funny. I'll give them that. That was, if you mispronounce the name, it's funny, but if you pronounce it correctly, it's not really, but.
Even then, it's really not that funny.
So they talk about his 1980 platform. Why they have to go all the way back to the 1980 platform instead of just going to lp.org and looking at what it is now, I don't know, but we'll go with it. Quote, libertarians want to urge the repeal of federal campaign finance laws and the immediate abolition of the despotic Federal Election Commission. In other words, they want to make it as easy as possible for corporations and wealthy billionaires to flood our democracy with corruptive cash and buy even more politicians. They want citizens united on steroids and then some.
Oh, yeah, just, I know there's a fallacy there where you bring up, like, this particularly bad example, like, oh, you're just a shill for Monsanto, or...
This isn't even a bad example. I mean, we talked about this on the podcast. I got Jim Babcock here to talk about it. Citizens United was a good ruling, you know, because now there's going to be less. Well, there's not going to be less corporate money, but there's going to be more opportunity for people who aren't in these, you know, big corporations and all these big billionaires to get together and pool their resources and have more of a voice in politics. And that's exactly what campaign finance laws inhibit. They don't inhibit the big guys. The big guys can keep spending their billions all they want. But in order for us little guys to have more of a voice, we have to get together and pool our resources. And that's exactly what they're stopping.
Mm-hmm. In reality, though, you could translate that whole thing to they want the sky to fall.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all it is. And every time you have these people coming out and saying, oh, they want to do this, they want to do that, they want to do everything, I'm reminded of, the sky is falling, the sky is falling.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we have that as a Chicken Little fallacy?
Yep. That's exactly what it is. You want to know what the biggest fail about this is? They're reading this from the 1980 platform, and the law that Citizens United overturned hadn't been passed yet. It was like 99 or 2000 when McCain-Feingold was passed. So the law that Citizens United overturned wasn't even in existence then.
Yeah, again, not really all that surprising. They just need to have a reason to say that they burned their crops, poisoned the water supply, and put a plague on all their houses.
They also say, quote, they want to privatize healthcare in America so that their billionaire friends in the healthcare industry... I want to know, where are all these billionaire friends of mine? Because, I mean, I could use a little help here, people.
Yeah, I could use that money.
It'd be nice to have some billionaire friends. Okay, so their billionaire friends in the healthcare industry can get even richer while working class Americans are getting sicker and sicker.
Isn't that zero-sum fallacy?
I don't even know what it is. It's so bad I don't even think it. You can put a fallacy to it.
I know this. I'm lower class America, and I'm getting sicker of this stupid article.
But I mean, it's like... I mean, I made two videos. I made how to fix healthcare without spending a dime, and I made how to argue for universal healthcare. Watch those videos and respond to them. If you've got a response to what we really say, and really that's all those two videos are, you know, it's just very good summary of, you know, libertarian arguments, then respond to that, but not, you know, not this, oh, the billionaires are going to get rich. People, we've responded to this over and over and over and over again. What's it going to take?
To go on a small tangent, this reminds me of, I'm sure you've seen this passed around every now and then, but that stupid story where from Canada where it's like, cure for cancer discovered, but they won't put it out because Big Pharma won't make enough money on it. Knock it off. Okay, look. So let me just explain something here. Here's one particular reason why that is a load of nonsense. The Big Pharma conspiracy doesn't work because the guy who discovers the cure for cancer, he's set for life. He is set for life, not only just by the sheer monetary compensation he'll get for the cure itself, but through book deals, through appearances. He's set for life.
And the company that actually makes it gets ton of free publicity as everyone else is celebrating. Hey, look, Merck or whoever it is has the cure for cancer. And then they get all these this positive mention.
Yeah. Yeah. So this idea that the private pharmaceutical companies are just they don't want to lose their profits.
Yeah.
It's always been one of the biggest crocks. It just takes some simple logical reasoning to figure out why.
But it really makes them quake in their boots for all the stuff they're going to lose when government forces people to buy healthcare from them with the ACA. Yeah, way to put the screws on the insurance companies, people. Force us to buy from them. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, insurance companies are evil. I'm going to support a law that forces you to buy from them. That'll get them.
Quote, they want to abolish Social Security, screw over working class Americans, and take all the money that would go towards Social Security and invest it in Wall Street so that their wallets can get even bigger.
This whole thing just seems like a lot of buzzwords.
It pretty much is. Yeah, and all that is just buzzwords for letting you manage your own retirement.
Yeah, I want to abolish Social Security so people actually get money.
Yeah, I mean, it's a negative real return on investment.
We're at the point now where the people who are finally starting to collect Social Security are getting less than what they put in.
Yeah, we have been for a few years now.
So, yeah, I would not mind seeing Social Security completely turned upside down and just gotten rid of.
Well, they do point out, quote, there's over $2.5 trillion sitting in the Social Security Trust Fund right now. Here's what they don't point out. Social Security has been running deficits for the past few years and will continue to do so for the foreseeable future. So that $2.5 trillion isn't going to last much longer. The other thing they don't point out is there is no Social Security Trust Fund. That's what they call that big pile of bonds that is in the Social Security account now from when Congress kept pulling the funds from the Social Security and basically writing IOUs so they could spend it on their boondoggles. That's not $2.5 trillion sitting in a trust fund. That's $2.5 trillion that you and I are going to have to be taxed to pay for it above what we're already paying in Social Security tax.
Yeah. Social Security is one of the biggest scams, and it continues its scam that people for some reason defend. It's almost like a Stockholm syndrome of sorts. I mean, yes, there are people who don't know, and then when you educate them, they realize, oh, that actually is kind of screwy. But then there are the people who are so neck deep into their dogma on the issue that everything that you say that counters this whole nonsense is seen as almost like a personal attack. I've seen people who say, it's my money. No, it's actually the money of the young people that you're robbing. Just because you paid into the system doesn't mean I owe you a dime.
Well, and Social Security meets all of the criteria for a Ponzi scheme. I don't care what spin everyone else says. If you go down the criteria line by line, it all fits Social Security.
How Social Security works.
Yeah, we've been over that too. And the thing about a Ponzi scheme is, whenever someone like Bernie Madoff or Charles Ponzi or someone like that runs a Ponzi scheme in the real world, prosecutors actually have a difficult time finding people who will take the witness stand against them, because even after it all comes out, a lot of them don't want to admit that they've been taken. And this is exactly what's happening with Social Security.
Well, not only that, though, but people also view it differently because you have two sets of morals. You have a private sector set of morality, and you have a public sector set of morality.
Different rules for thee than for me.
Yeah, for some reason, I guess when you go from the private sector to the public sector, it just suddenly changes. That's nonsense. It always has been. But for some reason, that's the rules that they're playing the game by.
Quote, because libertarians want to hold on to their money and get even richer, they also oppose all personal and corporate income taxation, including capital gains taxes. They don't want to have any responsibility for society. Screw society. You know, this would actually be a pretty good parody of anti-libertarian statists if these guys weren't serious.
There is no amount of palms that I could put into my face to describe this babbling goof that you've put forth.
There's no amount of faces to put palms into.
Oh, check this out. Quote, in 2010, tax evasion cost the federal government $305 billion. Imagine what America could have done with that $305 billion. Well, what did they do? They spent it. They invested it. They bought products. They invested in... That's all. That's what you do with dollars. It's not sitting there stuffed into a mattress or something like that. Just because the federal government didn't get their grubby hands on it doesn't mean... I mean, geez.
The whole thing is kind of a fallacy anyway. It wouldn't have cost them anything if they didn't feel like they needed to get in the business of stealing it from people in the first place.
But, I mean, you have this equating of America with the federal government. Like, if the federal government doesn't do it, then nothing gets done.
Gee, that sounds awfully familiar, like a certain cultish mentality.
You have to pay your tithes.
I must be thinking things up.
Actually, interestingly enough, that's where the expression rob Peter to pay Paul comes from.
Yeah?
Yeah, each church would have a separate tax. So people would often neglect to pay the tax for St. Peter's church to pay St. Paul's.
But check this out. Gotta love this wording. But if you're rich, you shouldn't have to pay any taxes under libertarianism. That's true. It's also true if you're poor or if you're middle class. You shouldn't have to pay any taxes under libertarianism. We don't want anyone to pay taxes. So that's a nice little exclusion there.
Well, it's easy to demonize the opposition when you neglect important details.
Yeah.
That's exactly what this is, too. All it is, they're just trying to make us look like we're heartless monsters.
Oh, yeah.
When in reality, I am very much an equal opportunist to not pay the government. Actually, no. I want to rephrase that. I am an equal opportunist for everyone to not be robbed by the government. Paying it implies that it's voluntary.
There you go. Quote, libertarians want to repeal laws that affect the ability of any person to find employment, such as minimum wage laws. In other words, screw the workers, we're the billionaires, and we don't give a damn about workers.
Wait a second.
We're trying to make it easier for people to find work, and we're screw the workers.
Because we're against minimum wage, so we're against workers being magically paid more money that comes from a pot of gold at the end of a rainbow somewhere.
That whole thing is completely stupid. Wait, making it easier to find work by implementing the number one cause of unemployment?
Yeah.
Jesus, people, really? You have to do better than this. I've debunked minimum wage so many times by now. It's almost one of those things that it's just, it's busy work. It's busy work, and I can't stand busy work.
Anyone who's taken an Econ 101 class and learned how to draw a supply-demand graph can debunk minimum wage. That's how easy it is.
You don't even need to take Econ 101. It's just basic common sense. When you think of labor as a supply, as something which you are purchasing, because that's what a boss is doing when they pay an employee. They are purchasing their labor.
Well, you don't even have to go that far. Just ask, where's the money going to come from?
There you go.
Well, the rich, they just have that all that money.
Because they're all sitting on top of, you know, all these vaults of gold galleons at Gringotts.
Well, I don't know if you guys know this, but DuckTales was actually a biography.
Yeah.
It was a documentary, not fiction.
And they have these big swimming pools full of gold coins that you can dive in and swim around in.
Yes.
Yes, that was perfectly correct, and there was nothing in there whatsoever that violated the laws of physics. I invite everyone who agrees with this article to go give it a try. Jump into that swimming pool full of gold coins.
Also, Pixar, it didn't happen.
Yeah. They did debunk that on Family Guy, actually.
Oh, yeah.
If you've seen that.
Yeah, that's probably more real. That's probably too far the other way. He probably wouldn't have been hurt that bad, but yeah, it was.
I don't know. I mean, it's a pretty high jump.
Well, yeah, it depends on how high you fall from, but yeah. All right, quote, Libertarians are also for the complete separation of education and the state and think the government ownership, operation, regulation, and subsidy of schools and colleges should be ended. Who cares about Thomas Jefferson and the University of Virginia or Abraham Lincoln's land-grant colleges?
No, that's perfectly right. I don't care about them.
Yeah.
Good. You said one correct thing in this entire thing.
Yeah, okay, Thomas Jefferson wrote all these great things and we take inspiration from it. So that means we have to agree with absolutely every single thing he ever said and did.
Yeah, of course.
I mean,
yeah.
they're just showing their cultist mentality there. That's how they think. They think authoritarian. It's not about the logic about it. It's not about observing a particular statement or action and examining it rationally, regardless of who said it. No, it's about they're on your side, so you should agree with them, just like Obama is on our side, so we agree with him.
So let me get this straight. Because Thomas Jefferson said one thing you like, we have to agree with everything he says. Okay, so what you're saying is you support slavery.
Yeah.
Because he had slaves.
Well, in his defense, he made a lot of attempts to try and free him and ran into legal roadblocks, but yeah.
Oh, I understand that. I'm just saying, if the rule is you have to agree with everything he did, he still owned slaves, so the point still stands.
Libertarians want to abolish the Environmental Protection Agency. After all, pollution can be so profitable, and who cares if a few million people get asthma or die of cancer? They're not rich people, screw them!
Somebody watched Aaron Brockovich, didn't they?
Aaron Brockovich... Of course, he's doing what I call the Captain Planet villain fallacy.
Yeah.
Of course, here's the thing. If you buy land, you try to make sure that it's not completely and utterly destroyed, because you can't make any more money off of it. I don't know what business practices this person is thinking of. And even when you have situations where they have no choice but to permanently damage the land in some way, they at least try to be more efficient about it than the government.
Yep.
Just look at Love Canal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, people are going to get on your case for that.
We've got the... We'll bury them.
Yeah.
I cannot believe they keep using Love Canal as an example of why the private sector is terrible with... That was government that screwed that up, people.
Yes, that greedy... companies are Hooker Chemical, those greedy bastards selling the land they didn't want to sell for $1.
So that they could put a deed restriction on it, preventing them from building a school district on it, and then they turned around and built the school district on it anyway, which cracked the clay seal and let the toxic waste out, and then they acted all surprised about it.
That's how it always works.
Quote, "No more standards for our roads, no more standards for our railways, no more standards for our airlines." Yes, government made the USB standard. Government made, you know, think of how many standards there are. You know, UL is not the government, people. IEEE is not the government. You have standards all over the place without the government.
Also roads.
No, I always pronounce it,
quote, "Turn it all over to the billionaires. They can run it all and make a buck while they're at it." Yeah, because politicians aren't making any money at all doing this.
Yeah, you know, even after they rob people blind.
They probably make more in their pensions after they stop being politicians than most business owners make.
You want a prime example?
No, wait, stop that. I know they make more in pensions than most business owners make.
Yeah, you want to see a prime example of that? Look at gas.
Yep.
How many times do you have to point out the difference between the profits of gas companies compared to the taxes?
18.5 cents for a federal tax, I believe. And I'm not sure what it is now. North Carolina keeps changing it. But it ends up being like 40 or 50 cents here in North Carolina.
I know Connecticut is one of the ridiculous ones. And we have two gas taxes. We don't even have just one. We have two.
Mm.
And I think they're both in like the 60 cent range.
And the profits from Exxon or whoever is like 4 or 5 cents a gallon or something.
And what kills me about this is I see on the local news here, and you guys know the local news I'm talking about because I post them in fail quotes all the time.
Are those the ones that post like all the ridiculous comments they get from viewers?
Yes. Yes.
Wait, what is this again?
The Voice of the People, arguably the worst segment in television history. The local news, whenever they talk about gas prices going up, they always mention the gas tax. They always mention it. But they just kind of pass off as meh. But yet they also have people leading the charge on private businesses are making too much money on gas.
And speaking of roads, quote, libertarians want to privatize our public highways and turn them all into toll roads, too. So if you want to drive to work, you have to pay the Koch brothers. Oh, come on. Are they even trying? I've pooped out better arguments than this after eating Indian food.
That's funny, because Connecticut's thinking of putting toll roads back on the highways. Oh, wait, that doesn't count, because they're the state.
Well, and I mean, who said they would be toll roads? They weren't all toll roads before government declared eminent domain and took them all over. They were just roads that people put down because it was easy to get from one place to the next.
Yeah.
You know, and they were maintained by people and families and businesses. And I mean, if you're in a business park, you want people to be able to come to your business. And if your competition makes everyone pay a toll on their road just to go to their business, you're going to say, hey, let's put in a road. We'll all get together and we'll pay for it. And there's no toll. And that way more people will come to our business.
Yeah. And what kills me, too, this reminds me of the one time on Stossel. They were talking about public parks and private parks. This one park in New York that a private company bought because it was just run down and they wanted to fix it up. And they asked everybody, do you think it's a public park or a private park? And they said they thought it was a public park because it was free. No, it turned out it was the private park because the private park had incentive to keep the place up and they didn't charge anybody. It was just a park.
He's done a couple of things like that, and like he's had people come on to criticize it and they say, yeah, but they don't allow homeless people. And I'm like, yeah, we do. We've got just as many homeless people coming to the park as we always have. It's just that we have that many more regular people. So as a percentage of the people there, you know, the homeless is lower. They have more people coming there now because it's better than it was when it was a government-run park.
You know, I could use a hug from a homeless person. You know, I can go to this park, cut their hair.
Nope, can't do it.
You know what? I think I'll feed them.
Nope, can't do it. Well, speaking of feeding people, quote, libertarians also want to do away with the Food and Drug Administration and the safety standards that agency imposes so that Big Pharma and Big Ag can make even more money while you and I are forced to deal with the consequences. Yeah, because Big Pharma and Big Ag don't get, like, billions of dollars in subsidies every year from the federal government or anything like that.
Or the safety regulations of allowing 10,000 to die from medicines that wouldn't come into this country because they couldn't be bothered to pass them through right away. Or by allowing homeopathy to continue to exist.
Well, and we don't really want to do away with the FDA. Just make it advisory, make it private, make it work like UL does. I mean, how do these people explain the existence of Underwriters Laboratories? I really want to know this.
No. We should be clear. We want to do away with the FDA as it currently is. We don't mind the FDA existing as a private advisory company that has to go and perform to the same standard that a company like UL does. But as it is now, the FDA isn't actually helping anybody. In fact, it's making things worse.
What about the ABA?
What's that?
American Beverage Association?
Oh, yeah, another good example.
I remember you discussing that on an old episode about the war on drugs.
Yeah, because they regulate the levels of caffeine that drinks makers add into drinks to make sure it's not a dangerous level, to make sure it's not an addictive level, that it's just enough for flavoring. You don't have to join, but they all do. Because, I mean, think of how convenient that is. If you're a drink maker, you're like, well, how much caffeine should I put in? Oh, here's an organization that'll help me with that. Okay, yeah, sign me up for that. Quote, finally, libertarians oppose all government welfare relief projects, blah, 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 blah. In other words, turn poverty over to the rich people. After all, they've always done such a great job taking care of poor people. Well, actually, yeah, they have a lot better than government has.
Yeah, they don't give you incentive to stay poor.
Yeah, and they build businesses and create jobs and invest in new ventures. And
I've always thought that this idea of demonizing the rich has always just been kind of silly.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the, they have more toys than me, therefore I hate them.
Yeah. Well, and it's like Standard Oil was so horrible because they got over 60% of the market. But they got that by making oil so cheap that poor people didn't have to heat their homes with dangerous coal furnaces anymore. They could heat them with kerosene. A lot of that 60% was people who weren't even in the market before because they were priced out of it. Standard Oil increased the size of the market and brought these benefits to the poor.
But robber barons!
What, robber barons like Gustavus Swift, who used his own money for R&D in the refrigerated rail car, meaning that people in poor and rural areas could get access to fresh beef?
Evil!
That monster.
In all seriousness, though, greed is overrated as a moral ill. It really is.
Well, I don't really consider it a moral ill. I consider it more of a motivator.
Yeah.
And it's going to motivate you to do things depending on what context you're operating in. If you're operating in a zero-sum game or even a negative-sum game, like what government wants to do, like we got to go to Washington and lobby them for all these political favors, then yeah, it's bad. But if you're acting in a positive-sum game, like a free market, like, I want to make money, how do I do it? Well, I make a product or service that's going to make people's lives better, and that way they'll pay me money to do it.
Yeah,
that's good.
I'm really only talking in their own standards, which I admit is none.
Yeah.
You know, the fact remains that these people just, they have no standards when it comes to actual morality, so they got to make stuff up as they go along to make you feel bad.
Yeah. And I mean, it's not as if we haven't refuted this nonsense over and over again. And yet, just like the creationists, they come back with these same long-refuted points time and time again with no response to the data and arguments we've given in response to them. They just poison the well, sling ad hominems against us because apparently they can't refute what we really say. And all that makes the ironically named truthout.org this week's biggest bogon emitter. Hackers, terrorists, the NSA. But I repeat myself. Your online security is under attack, and the weakest point is your password. That's why you need LastPass. LastPass plugs into your browser and allows you to randomly generate strong, unique passwords anywhere on the web, all protected by one master password. LastPass sets up in minutes and gives you secure automatic logins throughout the web, synchronizing across all your browsers and all your computers, at home, at work, or on the road. It even securely stores sensitive form data, including credit card numbers. Backup sensitive documents, membership info, Wi-Fi logins, and more. And with LastPass Premium, you can get these benefits on other applications and even mobile devices, and also get priority customer support. Sign up at password.bogosity.tv for a free month of LastPass Premium. Log in securely everywhere using the last password you'll ever have to remember. Go to password.bogosity.tv and get LastPass now. And now it's time to take a second take of this week's... I can slip out for a sandwich or something. He's going to be at this for a while.
I should have waited to walk my dog.
Sorry, that was a short one, I know.
Okay. And this week it goes to the city of Helmeta, New Jersey. One of their cops, Richard Racine, said on video that he doesn't have to follow the Constitution because Obama doesn't follow the Constitution.
That would work if you were six. And not, you know, in a position of authority.
Well, the video went viral and Racine resigned, but don't worry about him. He's still getting his pension. He'll be fine. So the question is, what is the Helmeta Council doing about this? Are they going to educate their cops on the Constitution? Give them pointers about how to deal with the public? Remind them that they swore an oath to defend the Constitution?
No.
Alas, such is too much to hope for. No, Helmeta is introducing an ordinance banning photography and video recording inside government buildings. Apparently, they don't think they have to follow the Constitution either.
Last of the time I went dancing at the Jefferson Memorial. Okay, I wasn't actually there, but...
Yeah, I remember that. That was when Adam Kokesh got body slammed.
Oh, yeah!
Well, Stephen Ronco, who recorded the original video of Racine, also recorded this council session... Since it's not actually illegal to record them until they pass it, which they haven't done yet. And now, this video has gone viral too. When will they learn?
They won't.
It is not their way to learn.
They never will.
Well, in a news report from My9 New Jersey, they said, quote, "This drama all began at the Helmeta Animal Shelter, where Ronco adopted a dog that turned out to be very unhealthy, costing him over $4,000 in medical bills." And she had all sorts of stuff like, parasites, anemia, had to have a blood transfusion, so, quote, Ronco went to City Hall to file an OPRA request related to the animal shelter because he suspected neglect. That is when and where Officer Racine made the remarks about not following the Constitution. And so Ronco said, quote, "It's going to be against the law to record in public, which I brought up is against the law. You're allowed to record public officials and public employees on public property. That includes a public building." They ignored me.
Of course they did.
And now the American Civil Liberties Union of New Jersey is getting into it. And Edward Baracus, legal director, said, quote, "We think it's inappropriate to have such a broad-based ban that would include public non-sensitive areas of public buildings."
Again, when will these people ever learn? They won't.
The ordinance goes on to state, quote, "The borough acknowledges that private individuals may, in certain circumstances, have rights to take photographs or video in public places." No, you're all circumstances we have rights.
Oh, you're generously letting us have these rights?
Mm-hmm.
How great of you.
When will you learn that rights are not mere privileges?
And then they went on to say, quote, "These public and private rights should be," survey says, "balanced in determining the course of conduct to be permitted with regards to the taking of photographs and video inside public buildings in the borough."
You know, over the past couple of years, I've grown to hate the words balance and compromise.
So have I. It's like, oh, you have to compromise.
You have to compromise over whether or not we should have some rape.
Yeah.
And I don't care how many people say it's not a relevant analogy. Yes, it is.
As long as they're using force, it will always be relevant.
It will always be relevant. That sounds like a good slogan.
Yeah, great going, guys. You tried to stop people video recording you and became the subject of that yourself. And just the fact that they even thought about doing this for more than 2 seconds without realizing the obvious consequences makes the City Council of Helmeta, New Jersey, this week's... So, Dave, you been seeing any of the new Doctor Who?
No, I don't watch Doctor Who. I think I saw one episode of the original series, like the first episode, but it was still in black and white.
Yeah, we gotta get you into that. Well, that wraps up this It's Only a Model edition of the Bogosity Podcast. Please visit the forums of Bogosity.tv, where you can read the show notes and join the discussion on these and other subjects. This podcast is free, but not free to produce, so please donate via PayPal or Bitcoin at the top of the Bogosity.tv website or down the right-hand side of the podcast page, and give generously to keep this podcast going. And if you'd like to contribute to the podcast, just send a question, statement, news article, or rant to podcast@bogosity.tv. Put it in an audio file, and if it's good enough, it'll get played right in the podcast. Thank you for listening, and thanks again to Daniel Wilcox and Dave Turcott for joining me.
My pleasure.
I did you this favor. And someday in the future, I may ask you to return the favor.
Until next time, here's a quote from Andrew Napolitano. "The camera is the new gun. There's nothing the government dislikes more than the light of day. And cameras recording what the government is doing. We have the right to know everything that they do, and why they do it, and when they do it, and how they've taken our freedom." The Bogosity Podcast is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 Imported License. Do you want answers to creationist claims against evolution? Would you like to know more about evolution yourself, or even engage creationists more directly, with actual peer-reviewed sources to back you up? My book, How Evolution is Scientific, is designed to show the basics of evolutionary theory and how it is so well supported using the scientific method. It's impeccably sourced, with references to the actual scientific material, and is arranged using the creationists' own criteria of what is scientific. Using their own arguments against them, see how evolution is scientific, but creationism is not, based on observations, accurate predictions, logic, and evidence. Get answers to common creationist claims, and even a primer on abiogenesis, the start of all life. It's all in my book, How Evolution is Scientific, available at Amazon and on Kindle, EPUB, and PDF as well. Get How Evolution is Scientific and never be taken in by creationists again. was a paid staffer for the campaign of GOP gubernatorial, of GOP gubernatorial, I can't say that word.
Gubernatorial?
Gubernatorial.
I was going to make reference to the fact that the guy went to an animal shelter and not a puppy mill, because for some reason people hate puppy mills. I don't know much about them, but I read up on them and they were like, they're for profit, and buzzword went off in my head to know that's a bunch of crap.
Yeah, that they're actually better than the government animal shelters.
Yeah, a lot of people are trying to ban them too. I think Connecticut banned them.
Do they euthanize the puppies there at the puppy mill?
Some do, some don't. You can go to no-kill shelters and adopt puppies from there.